tonight's shiur and the rest of the shiurim throughout the summer, sponsored by Daniel Englander, who's close to Rufo Shlema, for Zachariah Kalman Ben Yael Margalit. We started the discussion about how much Jewish participation in the cooking helps when it comes to Bishalakim last night, and we read through the entire sugya. We've discovered that silta means a basket, and we read through the entire sugya beginning to end, the whole Shakla Vitaria, and it did seem pretty clear from the sugya that the Jew needs to do something fairly significant, right? The Gemara had said, if the Jew puts the food on the fire in a way that it can't get cooked, and then the guy finishes up, the Gemara was very clear that that is absolutely aser. The Gemara then says, but if the Jew puts it on the fire in a way that it can get cooked, or the guy puts it on the fire and the Jew finishes the cooking, in either of those situations, it's mutter. We discussed a little bit last night, or a lot last night, the relationship between the word hofech and the word gomer, because the Gemara uses it interchangeably. And just to clarify exactly, sometimes in all the arguing, you get lost in, you know, you lose the, what is it, the tree from the forest, something like that, right? So so just to clarify exactly what the shaila was, my shaila was actually a very simple lemaisa shaila. Lemashal, you're making a barbecue and you hire a guy to do the grilling for you because it's a massive party. And there's a guy who's a non-Jew, comes to your house, and he turns on the grill and he puts some meat on the grill, and then you realize, ay vey, what did I do? It's bishalakum. So you go and you flip over some of the meat, and then you leave it, and he finishes up, and he continues to flip it, to check it, to take, right, and to continues to manipulate the meat and pour sauces on it, or whatever else it requires at that point in time, and he finishes the cooking. So, halacha lemaisa, is that okay, or is that not okay? Is that a problem, bishalakum, is it not a problem? That was the whole shaila. And what is it tali on? It's tali on, are we makbid that the Jew does the gemar bishul? At least, either the haskala or the gemar, or we makbid that the Jew do a maisa hifuch, a maisa of being hofech the meat, whatever that is, whether it's shaking it, flipping it, however you want to say like the Kesem Mishnah, just shaking it, touching it, doing something to it. Which is the hakpada? That was the whole question that I wanted to raise last night, and you could argue how to be medayik from the Gemara. Certainly on Lamed Chesem Beis, where the Gemara says Gomro biyad Yisrael lo kol shkein, where it emphasizes Gemar, it seems to emphasize Gemar. But okay, you could argue that previously when it says Hofech, that's also sufficient. Now, we left off last night with a question that we did not yet resolve. And that question was a stira in the Mechaber. We're going to be doing a lot of Shulchan Aruch tonight, just to try to figure out how to make the psukim of the Shulchan Aruch work, A, with each other, and B, with the Gemara. So if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, once again, in source number 6, Yardaya Simin Kuf Yud Gimel Siv Vav, says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol Shebishlo Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo, as long as the Jew does a little bit of the cooking, bein betchila, bein basof, whether he does in the beginning or in the end, mutter, it's going to be okay. Right? As long as he does ma'at bishulo. We pointed out last night that although the Shulchan Aruch says bein betchila, bein basof, the tour is explicit that even if it's in the middle, that it doesn't have to be only betchila or basof. Right? We saw that explicitly in the tour. The Torah says, because the Torah talks about chitoy begechalim, that as long as the Jew comes along at some point, and is mechata the gechalim. So anyway, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the tchila and the sof, as long as the Jew does anything. Now, what does it mean the Jew does some bishul basof? What does it mean to do ma'at bishul basof? What did the guy do? What did the Jew do? How do you understand pasha pshat and Shulchan Aruch?
According to Bechmi, the case in the after, in the case, so seemingly describes the tof means the hifuch.
Yeah, good. What did the guy do?
The guy did the beginning and end. The actual beginning and actual end.
Whoa.
Putting on the fire and finishing it up.
The case is one of two options. Either, again, he's going to describe two cases. Either the Jew doing the beginning or the Jew doing the end, right? So he describes, that's the case of the guy doing the beginning, the Jew doing the end. Oh, Shehigas Yisrael, the Gomer Ovid Chavim, that's the case of the Jew doing the beginning, guy doing the end.
Why is Higgis here in the middle? Meaning he'll be putting it, he didn't bring putting it on in the second case. What does that mean? In case two, it didn't say.
No, because that's obviously working off of the presumption that's, that, that, uh, that whoever was being was 1 second.
Isn't the higgis here irrelevant? Wasn't
oh, 1 second, 1 second. What does he say? A guy puts it on, and then the Jew comes and does hafach or higgis,
yeah.
Or a Jew does higgis and the guy is gomer. But that sounds like even the Jew does up until higgis and the guy is gomer. Meaning the point is that even though the guy is gomer, it's still mutter. But gomer is past the point of higgis or hafach, I would assume. But even without that, forgetting all that, ma'at bishulo at the end, done by a Jew, hafach, higgis, whatever you want to say the Jew is doing. So that's what I'm asking. Where did the guy leave you when you took over? What does it mean the Jew does ma'at bishulo? Pashup shat is, ma'at bishulo means it was almost done, and the Jew took over when it was almost finished. You came home, the food was almost done, it needed a couple of more minutes on the grill, but it was almost done, and you just finish it up. And you are hofech or whatever it needs in those last few minutes. You have to do something, but you did something for the last couple of minutes. So it sounds like the guy got it all the way, let's say, to, I don't know, 90% cooked, and then a Jew does ma'at bishulo at the end, and that's good enough, right? Once, yeah, no, you don't agree? Right, so I'm saying, what's the case of Besof? What's the case where the Jew does Besof?
So
yeah.
When we say Besof, you mean Tamach Ben Yosai?
Oh, I don't think that's the Pashat reading. We may have to say that in a second, but I don't think that's the Pashat reading. Pashat reading is Besof, is at the end of the whole Bishul, at the end of the whole cooking process. Even in the Gemara, the Pashat Pshat in the Gemara, L'chora is Gamar B'yadav D'chavmi, understood that to mean in the Pashat Pshat, that it means Machal Ben Rusai. Pashat Pshat is it's not that way, because the Gemara compared cases where it's already at Machal Ben Rusai, and then someone finishes. And the Gemara doesn't distinguish in that way. So it seemed that Gemara means the real finishing of the Bishul. 1 second, so let's take a look at the Si'if, three Si'ifim later, says the Shulchan Aruch, in Bishlu of the Chavim Kimachal Ben Drusai, the Gamro Yisrael, if the guy gets it 33% cooked, and then the Jew finishes from that point on, presuming that the Jew finishes the last 66.6% of the Bishl, says Shulchan Aruch Yesh Le'asar. We should say it's Asar. El Im Kain, who Erev Shabbos, or Erev Yom Tov, or Sheyesh Hefsim Ruba B'davar. Okay. Unless it's an Erev Yom Tov, Erev Shabbos, or there's a Hefsim Ruba, then you can be Mekel. But otherwise, it's really Asar. Now the question is, why did the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Vav just say that it's mutter, straight out, without ever telling us Yesh Lahachmir L'Cherchil or whatever? And in Siv Tes, he says Yesh L'Esar, that we should Esar it. Presumably it's the same case. It's a case where the guy cooks it to a point, past Machal Ben Drusai, and the Jew finishes it. So is that okay or is it not okay? So the simple way to address it is to say that the Mechaber and Siv Vav, when he says that basof, that the Jew being involved basof is enough, doesn't mean that the sof of the entire bishul, sof is not the same as the gemar. The gemar is when you finish cooking the food entirely. Sof is the end of the halachic bishul. And when does it reach halachic bishul? Machal Ben Drusai. So what does it mean? The guy cooked it 30%, not 33.3%, 30%. And then the Jew takes over and does ma'at basof. He gets it from 30% to 33.3%. So then it's going to be mutter. But in Sif Tes comes along the Mechaber and he says, but if the guy cooked it all the way to 33.3% and then the Jew takes over, too late. It's already a cheftz of Machalos Asuros. It's already Asur because of Bishul Akum, and therefore there's nothing you can do at that point to salvage it. That it would be the easy answer. The problem with the easy answer is that the Mechaber in Sif Tes does not just say it's Asur. The Mechaber in Sifta says, it's Asr except it's really Mutter. Right? He says, it's Asr, but Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, money, okay, then it's Mutter. Which implies that really, Meikra Adin, it's Mutter, it's just Yesh Le'asar. So if he really holds that a guy cooking it to Machal Ben Drusai is a problem, so why is he hedging on that? Why does he say, no, it's not a problem? So what you would have to say is that he holds that a Jew helping Basof even after it's at Machal Ben Drusai, Meikra Adin is Mutter. It's just Kedai Lahachmir. But a Jew helping to get to the point of Machal Ben Drusai, even if you want to be extra Machmir, there's no reason to be Machmir in that. Then it would be totally Mutter without any question. That would be the simplest approach, probably, to try to be Miyashiv the Mechaber. Yeah?
Is it Just to clarify, if the Jew cooks it before his Malka Ben Drusai, and like it's 10%, and then the non-Jew continues after that, and it stays on the grill the whole time, that's not Kosher Malkum.
Right. Well, that's what the Gemara said. As long as the Jew left it in a place where it could have gotten cooked the whole way, it would have taken a couple of hours, but it could have gotten cooked all the way, then even though the Jew left it at 10% and the guy does the last 90%, that's still fine. As long as it could have gotten cooked all the way. The Gemara is explicit that if the Jew doesn't do anything that could have cooked it all the way, the Gemara is explicit that that's aser, which is going to be a major problem for how we pass it, obviously. It's certainly a major problem for Hashlachas Kisei, more for just turning on the fire. Because you know, when you just turn on the fire, it couldn't have cooked anything because there was no food there. Right? So we're going to have to deal with how our Psak Halacha fits at all with the Gemara. But again, that's a separate issue. Let's deal with the steer in the Shulchan Aruch now. Yeah?
Yeah, that's a question. I still don't get the lesson of the Shulchan Aruch, because in both cases he brings the Jews being Megas, being Higas. I mean, in both cases he's being still.
Right. Why, if he wanted to give the flip, he should have said. Right. He should have said that it was the guy that was Megas.
Yeah. Why is the Jew being Megas?
Or Hofeich, and the Jew that put it on the fire. Yeah, that's strange. I'm not sure why he does that. I don't know. That seems unusual. I'm not sure. There is another possibility, I think, in the Shulchan Aruch. It could be, and this the Pri Chadash says, I didn't include in the Maror Makomos because it wasn't on the Bar Ilan CD and I didn't have it accessible, but the Pri Chadash writes that Siftes is talking about where it was taken off the fire in the interim. Sivvav is talking about where it was still a Hemshech of the original Bishul. If it's a Hemshech of the original Bishul, then even past Machlo Ben Drusai, even though the guy got it past Machlo Ben Drusai, the Jewish participation is going to help. But if it was taken off the fire, at a point where the guy cooked it to Machlo Ben Drusai, and then it was taken off the fire, the Jew putting it back and cooking it the rest of the way is not going to help. Now, we discussed before a little bit of a distinction between a Hemshech of the original Bishul versus a continuation of the original Bishul, but not in this context. We didn't make this chiluk. That a guy starts the cooking, it gets to Machl Ben Drusai. If the Jew, listen to the Vart, if the Jew takes it off, Kapaskin Ditzasu, there's nothing you could do. Or if anyone takes it off. Right? Once it's off, too late. The guy cooks it to 95% of the way. It stays on the fire. The Jew finishes the last 5%. Mutter. What's the Svara?
Gemar Bishul. He's doing Gemar Bishul.
Is that, how do you define Gemar Bishul?
Now it changes. If it wasn't taken off, it never stops. It's like
whenever the process stops is the definition of Gemar Bishul. Right? And whenever you reach that point, whenever that process stopped, basically what it's saying is it's a bit of a chiddush, because it's more than a bit of a chiddush. Normally you would assume that okay, when it hits a certain threshold, you're going to say okay, now we have to paskin, that's already called mavushal, and therefore it's considered to be bishlakum. So if you're going to assume machul ben drusai is that threshold, so as soon as it hits that threshold, I don't care if it was taken off, not taken off yet, but it hit that threshold, so you would say bishlakum. Now it's a cheft of machul sasurus. No matter what you do, you're not going to help it. We already paskin on it. But what the Pri Chadash is apparently assuming is that no, you don't paskin on it while it's cooking. No matter what it hit while it was cooking, when do you paskin on it? When the cooking stopped. Now you say, okay, now that the cooking is over, who cooked it? And then, if at that point, if it was taken off, if the guy cooked it to Machl Ben Drusai and removed it, so it was removed. Okay, now let's paskin. Who cooked it? It's cooked, it was removed, who cooked it? Well, the guy cooked it. The fact that it becomes cheft of machol sasuros, for a Jew to then put it back on and cook it the rest of the way, it doesn't matter. It's already paskin. But if the guy cooked it 95% of the way, but it was still on fire, it wasn't done yet, we never had that moment where we paskin on it. We never have that moment where we declare it a cheft of machol sasuros. When does that moment come? Whenever it gets taken off the fire. And at that point, if it's the Jew had helped 5% of the way, so you can say, okay, the Jew helped out. So it's no longer mevushal only by a guy, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now, if you were to take this to its logical conclusion, I mean, if you say it exactly the way I said, you're going to run into a big problem. Because let's say you come home and it's done. The guy cooked it all the way, but it just still happens to be on the fire. It was ready to be taken off about a minute or two ago. But now it's at the point of mitstamek v'ralo. So at that point, the Jew's going to flip it at mitstamek v'ralo, take it off the fire, and then it's going to be okay. Avadanat. Right? There's no way you're going to say that. So you have to say is the threshold of machlo ben drusai and the threshold of mevushal kol tzarcho have different gedarim. Right? That when it comes to machlo ben drusai, that's only significant if the bishul process ended. But when it comes to the gedar of mevushal kol tzarcho, then whether you personally finish the bishul process or not, once it's already mevushal kol tzarcho and it's now on the other side of the hill, it's mitstamek v'ralo, so then anything that you do further, even though it's the same, it's still on the same fire and it was never removed, that can't be called participating in the bishul. Because if anything, you're goreya in the bishul by keeping it on longer and by help, you're not helping anything. But when you're when it was at machal ben drusai and then you continued and you helped it, so you participate in the actual bishul. So you would have to add that extra twist into it. But l'chora, that's the svar of the pre-chadash. I did not see the pre-chadash inside. I saw it quoted somewhere. I think it must have been Mestam of the Chalkas Binyamin, because that's where I see everything quoted. But I didn't see it inside. But that's that. I don't know if he says this svara, but I think that would l'chora be the svara. Yeah.
If we're going to say that right, that the I guess the maximum that it could be. Is the Masha Kol Tzarcho? Then I don't. Then it's like kind of like Manoshav. If you're gonna say like that's the threshold, then what was I gonna say? All right, come back, Maj.
Okay.
Would we really say that like flipping it off the grill for a second stops the cooking process?
Well, that the Beis Yosef said that, right? We saw that in the Kesef Mishnah, that even flipping it over, he thought, stops the cooking process. But certainly the Gemara says, taking it over and putting it into the basket or flour would stop. I'm going to find some acharon that says flour. But taking it over and putting it into the basket on the side would also stop the cooking process.
I'm saying that makes sense. You're taking and putting it into a basket, like it cools down, but like flipping it
over. Yeah, so the Brichad says it was off. You took it off. That's what we're talking about. It was taken off. That's what the Mechaber is talking about in Sif Tes when he says if it was cooked to Machal Ben Drusai by the guy and it was taken off, right? Then it's then the Jew putting it on afterwards is not gonna help anything.
So the Beis Yosef is more Machmer than that. He's saying even if you flip it over for a second
Beis Yosef is the Mechaber, so I mean probably he would say even flipping it over, but let's just make it easy. Just to make the case simple, we'll say that it's talking where even if he took it off.
But the pre-Chadash is saying that you actually took it off, but
I don't know. I didn't see it inside. But, you know, to simplify it, we'll just make it a case of taking it off. Let's say.
Okay, right. And the Shulchan Aruch is saying that even if you flip it first,
probably,
second,
because
not necessarily taking it off.
Right, right. That would also suspend the bishul. Yeah.
The case you gave there might be, I say the guy cooks him a bishul calls Aruch, and it's totally done. You come back 2 minutes later. It's not that now it's fully cooked, and then after a minute you could tell that it's already overcooked. You go back to it, there's that time gap. Like it's not like one time that like, hits the point. It's
so you're saying hitting mevushal kol tzarcho is not necessarily the
like
point
like
of mitstamek v'ralo. There must be some window of mevushal kol tzarcho before it starts getting to mitstamek v'ralo. That could very well be true. I don't know. Do we say in Hilchos Shabbos? I don't know. I'm not sure.
So one of the things that you were saying in the first case that I mean the second case in such test that if it's that. But being cooked to machlan drusai is enough to say that it's not, and the goy then takes it off. It's not to say that it's considered a cooked item. And if you bring it back to the first case, then once the goy reaches machlan drusai, even still on the grill, it's still as if the same thing is that it's you're still cooking a cooked
item. Again, but that's the thing, right? That's the whole svara. That's the whole light. That's the nekuda. But the Prichadish says you don't paskin on it when it hits machal ben drusai because the cooking isn't over yet. The cooking is defined as over when it's removed from the grill or when it's finished, and it had neither. Yeah.
According to the Prichadish, just to close it, according to the Prichadish, if it's on the fire, even if the guy cooks it to machal ben drusai and then the Jew comes, it still be
right.
So what's the point of machal ben drusai then by Bishul Akum?
That if it hit machal ben drusai and it was taken off the fire. Then there's nothing that you could do
after. So it should be, if you took it on the fire, took it off the fire, you shouldn't have to hawk around about Michael Ben Drusai.
No, because if it didn't get, the guy cooks it to, let's say, 20%, and it gets taken off the fire, and then the Jew puts it back on the fire, then it's no problem, that's mutter. It's only if it hit Michael Ben Drusai, it was taken off the fire.
No, right, but I'm saying,
So Machlok Ben Shlomo matters.
Well, I don't understand why. As long as you take it off the fire, no matter what the guy cooks it until, l'chora that's mutter.
No, if the guy cooks it to Machlok Ben Shlomo and then it gets taken off the fire, and then the Jew finishes it, it's aser.
Oh, that's aser.
That's going to be aser. That's going to be aser because it was taken off the fire after Machlok Ben Shlomo. That's where we paskin on it.
So Machlok Ben Shlomo, the Mavashel called the Tzarachol. So we're going to say that after Mavashel called the Tzarachol, that's not considered bishul anymore.
Right.
Then that's a problem for that Machlok Ben Shlomo because according to that, then really it's the amount of that we consider the Gemara bishul as when the meat is completely cooked. So anything previous to the meat being completely cooked, therefore is not considered a complete bishul. And so therefore,
unless you stop cooking it and it already has a din of mevushal for something.
But according to the fact that you aren't able to cook it after mevashel kol tzarachol, that would imply that we're talking about the meat here. So if it's not mevashel kol tzarachol already, then any subsequent cookings, even if it was lifted from the fire, would therefore be considered,
No, that's what he's saying. That's his chiddush. His chiddush is that it's not so.
He's saying both chumras.
You may be cooking again, but it's already chefto mechol sasuras. As I said, that's why I tried to formulate it that way, that when you take it off the fire, it's been cooked, it's no longer being cooked, and it was cooked, and who cooked it? A guy. Mechol sasuras. Now, if you take chazer and put it on the grill, it doesn't make it mutter. So the same thing, you take something that was mevushal bishalakum, and then you put it on the grill, doesn't make it mutter. It's still acid.
But the fact that we're saying that if you're mevushal after it being mevushal kochama, therefore we're defining what is considered mevushal by the meat itself. In which case, if you were to lift it, from the flame after,
Right, so that's the chiluk that you have to make, that you're defining it in terms of mevushal kol tzarachol. There are two ways something could be considered. The bishul process is considered to have ended. If it ends naturally because there's nothing else to cook, there's no more cheftza to cook, and that's mevushal kol tzarachol, because the cheftza is already done. Or you're not going to look at the cheftza that's being cooked. You're just going to look at how the cooking process went, and it was removed from the fire, and it had a din of halachically mevushal. So then the cooking is over. Those are the two ways for the cooking process to be over. Again, it's a svar for the Pri-Chadash. Pri-Chadash didn't want to, Mestama didn't want to say, he's just trying to explain the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Stir and Shulchan Aruch. It's, either way, you're going to have to say some sort of Big Chiddush. I think the first way is also a Big Chiddush. Say that the Mechaber in Siv Vav, when he says, it's very misleading the Mechaber then in Siv Vav, if you can say the first way. Kol Shebishle Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo Ben Bechilo Ben Besof means, provided that the Jew got in there before Machal Ben Jusai. That's the only way it's mutter. If I'm reading that Shulchan Aruch and I don't know anything else and I don't know the background of the sugya, if someone calls me up the shayla and says I came home and it was half cooked and then I finished up the rest of the process, is it okay? I open up the Shulchan Aruch, I see Ben Bedchila by myself. It's mutter. No problem. It's enough in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? It would be very misleading to make such an akimta.
The beginning before it was cooked. Means that tchila means tchila is the beginning.
And sof is the end. Yeah. The end at the end of the cooking, not the end before machal ben jusai. That's a big chiddush to say that end means before machal ben jusai.
I'll say, but tchila means before machal ben jusai, and sof means before it's fully cooked.
Exactly. That's what I would say. So that's why the first mahalich is very difficult, because the first mahalich suggests that no, but sof means the last few moments before machal ben jusai, which is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush in the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so that is just in terms of dealing with stira, two mahalchim in terms of dealing with the stira of the Shulchan Aruch. Next issue, also relating to hipuch. If the guy cooked it in a way, the guy left it in a way that it would have gotten cooked without a Jew ever coming along, and then the Jew was mahapich, is that enough? Does the Jewish hipuch have to be a necessary component of the bishul? Or just that the Jew took over at some point and would have gotten cooked anyway? So the truth is, it's really obvious what the answer is. The Torah, first of all, says explicitly, if you look in the Torah, back in the Torah that we saw yesterday, number two, right, the Torah writes, Lo Asrael kashakala bishlal yidei avdiklum al v'hayit chilasov osof al v'yashol mutar, keitzad, hiniach akum atavshil al ha-gecholum u'bo yishol v'chata v'gecholum mutar, af al pi shahaya mispashal below chitwi. That the Jew comes and stokes the coals a little bit, even though it didn't really need it, and it would have been cooked anyway, that's good enough. Jewish involvement doesn't have to be something that enables a bishul that otherwise would not have happened. it just needs to be something that actually affects the bishul, but doesn't have to enable a bishul that otherwise would not have happened. The Gra points out that it's clear in the Gemara this way as well. Why? The Gemara makes a kal v'chomer. What's Gemara's kal v'chomer on top of Amud Beis? If when a guy finishes the cooking, it's mutter. Kal v'chomer when Yisrael is gomer the bishul, it's mutter. So presumably the two cases that the Gemara is comparing are one, a case where the Jew starts, guy finishes, two, a case where the guy starts and Jew finishes, right? Those are the two cases. Are we going to assume that one of the cases is where the guy who started did 80% and the guy who finished did 20%, and the other case is where the guy who started did 20% and the guy who finished did 80%? No, in some of the two cases that we're comparing, every factor is the same, except for we flip the guys, right? One is where the Jew started, the guy finished, and then where the guy starts and the Jew finishes. Every other factor is the same, otherwise it's a horrible kal v'chomer. The kal v'chomer only makes sense that, look, if even when the guy, if you're going to start changing other details of the case, then how can you make a kal v'chomer like that? So obviously all the other details of the case are the same. Now, what was the case where the Jew started and the guy finished? What was the case? Would the food have gotten cooked had the guy never finished? Had the guy never come along in that case? So the Gemara said explicitly on Amud Aleph that if it would have been a case where the Jew put it into place, then it never would have gotten cooked, and the guy came in and enabled it to get fully cooked, then it's vaday aser, nothing to talk about. The Gemara says, pasha, that it's aser, can't possibly be mutter. Elamai, it must be a case where the Jew put it in a situation where it's going to get cooked. It will take 2 hours, but it's going to get cooked. And the guy comes along and speeds up the process, makes it only get cooked in 1 hour. That's the case of a Jew starting and a guy finishing. So now says the Gra, obviously not in as many words because he's the Gra, but says the Gra, in the case where the guy starts and the Jew finishes, what's the case? Even if the guy put it in a situation where he doesn't need the Jew to make the cooking happen, where the cooking is going to happen in 2 hours, and the Jew comes along and speeds up the cooking and makes it happen in 1 hour, even that's going to be mutter. So does the Jewish hipuch help when it would have gotten cooked anyway? It seems clear, explicit in the Torah, but the Gra points out really explicit in the Gemara that of course it's mutter, that it's absolutely mutter. Now the question then is, if we accept those rites, right? We believe the Gra, the Torah, we're happy with that, right? So take a look at Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud. Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud, source number 9. Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Yud. Hiniach Yisrael al gabe gecholim omimos, shelo haya ro'i l'espash aleim kemachal ben Rusai. A Jew puts food on dying embers that can't really get the food all the way to machal ben Rusai. Can it kickstart the cooking process? Of course it can. You got a text? Can it kickstart the cooking process? I don't want to know. Can it kickstart the cooking process? Of course it can, right? But what happens? It can't get cooked all the way. It can't even get cooked to halacha cooking. And the guy goes ahead, comes along, and hafach bov in his pashel, aser. Then it's going to be aser. Now, is this a problem? Yes, problem, no problem. What do you think? Why would I think it's a problem?
I wouldn't think it's a problem because since it would not, like you said before, like Mar says, if it would not have been cooked without the guy's help, then it's also. So since I
hear No. If it would
not have been cooked without the guy's help.
Without the guy's help.
Without the guy's help, without the guy turning it over. And like helping moving and everyone say it, and like the flames were like inflamed.
Let me ask you, the guy cooks it to a point, let's say, I don't know, to pass Machal Ben Rusai or whatever, and then I come along and I help him, right? So the guy did the whole cooking.
Yeah,
this meat wouldn't be cooked without him.
He's
the one that put the food on the fire.
You had some major involvement in the cooking process itself. Here, the cooking process
didn't start.
So you have no involvement in
Good. Let's sharpen the question, then the answer will be better. The question would seem to be that if the guy put the food on the fire, then the food's not getting cooked without what the guy did. Right? If he's the one that put the food on the fire, the food wouldn't be cooked without his help, obviously. But then the Jew can come along and do stuff, and it's going to be mutter. That kuliyam lo pligi, right? The Jew can come along and be gomer, and it's going to be mutter. So why is that different than in Sif Yud, where also it's a situation where the Jew did something, the guy, though, did something that the food never would have gotten cooked without. The guy did something critical to the cooking process. Both cases are where the guy did something absolutely critical to the cooking process, and the Jew did the rest. But where it's a case that the guy put it on the fire, which is absolutely critical to the cooking process, and the Jew did the rest, that's mutter. But where the Jew put it on the fire, and then the guy gets it cooked because the fire that the Jew put it on wasn't strong enough, that's asr. Why is it asr? So now, having formulated it like that, is your answer still an answer?
Yeah.
No, so explain it.
In the second case where it's asr, is that when the Jew put it on the grill, it's when you put the Jew on the grill that you know that what was couldn't reach Machal and Jusai, then it's not a cooking process in itself. The cooking process is that you're cooking from
so you're saying to
Machal and Jusai, but since it couldn't reach that in the first without the guy's help, then the Jew, the whole thing in the first
when cooker, the Jew puts it on dying coals, it's like the Jew putting it on the kitchen counter, is
exactly
what you're saying. The Jew didn't do any cooking. He put it on the kitchen counter.
In a cooking process that was already active, that was an actual cooking process.
When a Jew is dealing with food on a fire, where it's actually already cooking, so then it's a Jew involved in the cooking process.
We also just have in the Gemara the case where, you know, we say that if the Jew puts on a flame that is capable of getting it to Machal ben Yusai, even if the guy comes along and cooks it on, you know, on that grill, that we say that case is mutter. This situation is not that situation. So we would say in that case it would be usher.
Right.
Like
but the question is,
it's
a Gemara, absolutely. But in Lamedus, why is it different? Right? Yeah, absolutely.
I
could ask you on the Gemara, not on the Shulchan Aruch. You're right.
One capable of becoming Machal ben Yusai, one's not capable.
And therefore, meaning the point is, in both cases, the way I was trying to formulate the question, that in both cases, without the guy, nothing is happening.
Okay.
Right? In both of the cases, without the guy, nothing is happening. And the Jew is doing something incidental that's not really necessary. Right? Given the backdrop that we just said, that even if the guy put it in a place where it's going to get cooked if he leaves it there, and the Jew just speeds it up, and the Jew just comes later on and speeds it up, that's mutter, and we all agreed that that's mutter, and Torah said beferish, and the Gras said it's beferish in the Gemara that way, that's mutter. So the Jew wasn't needed, the guy was absolutely needed, and it was mutter. Sif Yud, or the case where the Jew put it on a fire that wasn't strong enough, and the guy makes the fire stronger and finishes it up, the Jew wasn't needed, the guy absolutely was needed, and it's awesome. So that's what. So what Dovi suggested, I think, it was a very, very good answer, that in the case where the Jew put it on dying coals, it's like putting it on the kitchen counter. It's not just that the Jew wasn't needed. It's not just that what the Jew did wasn't enough or wasn't needed. It's that the Jew didn't do bishul at all. Now, it's not a pashut answer that he said, though. It sounds very good. Here's the problem. Let's say you cook something on Shabbos to less than Machal ben Yusai. So is that bishul at all? Is it a chatzi shir? Is it bishul but you're not chayev on it? Right? What exactly did you do? Or let's, right, meaning is that, so that's clearly assuming that it's nothing. That getting it to 32% is not cooking. It's getting it past that threshold. Now, what if it's already past that threshold, getting it further? You're suggesting that's also bishul, right? That would still be called bishul. What's the halacha in Shabbos about that? It's a major machlokes rishonim. If it's already at Machal ben Yusai, and then you cook it further, is that bishul daraisa or is it not bishul daraisa? Major machlokes rishonim hilchos Shabbos. So your answer assumes that it is called bishul, even though you came in after it's already at Machal ben Yusai, and it's not called bishul when you get it from 0 to 32. Right? So that's the part that needs to be worked out. Yeah?
Can't you say, similarly, when the girl said, for the reason why we're sitting here, that because by you doing this, you're doing some type of avoda. It's a kriya avoda, and therefore, since it's carved in the shul, So by you doing that, therefore.
But when you put it on Gechalim Amos, it's also being Makarev the Bishul. It gets it all the way to 32%.
No, but that's not this is right in the process, and now you carve the Bishul. Right here, you have, it's not necessarily carve the Bishul. It's more like it's there, and now by you putting on the coal, so yes, you're preparing it, but you haven't done anything to make it carve the Bishul. Carve the Bishul would be in itself like either press down on me to make the fire spark up or to ignite the fire itself. But you haven't done.
I don't know, why not? If I got it from 0 to 32%, that's not making a carbon bishul. It'll take a lot shorter to cook now. Plus, it's on the fire that's going to eventually cook it. It's just the coals need to be pushed a little bit. But
no, because his whole point of carbon bishul is that you're the thing's already cooking, and now you're going ahead. By you doing the thing, it's going to be cooking faster. By you putting on these dying coals, you're not making it cook faster. If the guy would go ahead in the beginning and put it on a normal flame, it would probably cook much more faster than if you go ahead and put on these dying coals, then you have to sit there for 10, 15 minutes while it's cooking there, and then have to go ahead and switch it to that normal flame, which can take the same amount of time.
Okay. I mean, it might be the same. That's already sounding very similar to what Dovi was saying, I think. Let's take a look. I think there's a third formulation, which is also the same, that the Chalkas Binyamin has. If you look in source number 10, the Chalkas Binyamin raises this question, and he says that Alfagav de Minyach Yisrael Basal Gabi Chalm Ommo Shloi Roy Lisbashale Rumba Nachri Vahavachbo, basically Sif Yud Vinisbashal Aser, like Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud. Hare, so what do you see from Sif Yud? Di Elohayim Isbashal Below Maisa Nachri, that if the guy's action was necessary, Aser. So it should also be Aser if the guy left it and the Jew is Hofech. Because it wouldn't have gotten cooked had the guy not put it on the fire. So he asked this Kasha. He says, Lo Kasha. The shiny hacha de b'shas hipuch Yisrael kvar omer atavshel ala esh b'makom sheroil is bashel. It's in a place where it's getting cooked. When the guy put it on the fire and cooked it to a certain extent, and the Jew comes in his hofech, when the Jew starts getting involved, it's in a place where it's getting cooked. So the Jew is participating in the bishul process. As opposed to the case where the Jew puts it on Gecholim Omamos, where it's not even omed l'isbashel, it's not a place where it could get cooked. V'imkein ein ma'isa shelo mitstarif la'bishul shabakulo al yidei anachri. So his ma'isa was not during the active bishul process. When the Jew participates while the bishul process is underway, even if his participation is unnecessary, and the guy's participation is absolutely critical, but as long as he participated while the bishul process is underway, that's good enough. If the Jew participates when the bishul process was not yet underway, then he didn't do anything. He didn't participate in the bishul. That's how. I think that's exactly what Tovi said. Might be what Tovi said also. That's how the Chalkas Binyamin says. Now, this idea, this svara, is reminiscent of the Ran. The Ran in Tesvavim Beis Bedape Arif, Dibur Maskel Va'af. I put it in the Marma Komos just in case anyone didn't have the Ran, so for whatever reason in the back of their Gemaras. But it's always good to see things inside. So the Ran writes, if you look at, does it start? Ten lines in. Ah, yeah, thank you. About 5 lines before the lines get wide in the Ran. Last 2 words on the line. Says the Ran, V'lo od, Ela shekorva nilomar, Tashlachas eitz letanur haroi lefos. Even before the Ran, if I were to ask you logically, throwing wood into a fire that helps the fire get bigger, is that better than starting the fire in the first place? Meaning, if, let's say, you have a fire that has not been started, the Jew starts the fire, but the Jew turns on a pilot light, let's say. A Jew turns on the stovetop to a very low flame, not enough to really cook your meat. And then the guy turns it higher. Versus a case where the flame is on, it's pretty high already, it's enough to cook the meat, the guy turns it on, and the Jew turns it a little higher, puts in a little splinter of wood, a little something, just to add a little bit to the flame. In which case did the Jew do more? Where the Jew brought the fire originally, created the fire off of which the guy worked to make a suitable fire for cooking, or where there already was a suitable fire for cooking made by the guy, and the Jew just threw a splinter in it, threw a little piece of wood in it.
The first case.
The first case, l'chora, sounds much more, right? So says the Ran, I don't think so. The Ran says there's a chilek. And the chilek that the Ran says, I think, is exactly the chilek that Dovi said. The Ran says, what's the chilek? He says, korva nilomar. He says, korva nilomar. It's like, you know, I feel like saying, but I don't know if I'm going to say. It's like one of those lule de mistafinas. You know, what does that mean? Were you afraid to say it? Were you not afraid to say it? Did you mean it? Did you not? Korva nilomar, he says. Such a svara. Da'ashlach ha'seif l'tan ha'roi lefos. That throwing a little piece of wood into a fire that's already ready to cook. Mahani tfei is more of an action. Mehecha she'Yisrael hevi ikara esh ve'eno roi lefos. Is even more of an action than a Jew creating the fire from scratch and leaving it as a fire that's not big enough to cook with. Why? Because when you throw the wood into the fire that's already ready to cook, you're at least doing something with cooking. So you'll say, well, come on, you started the fire. That ain't kiruv bishul gadol mizeh, starting the whole fire. No, lessa. Mishum demashma de krovei bishula lomahani elahecha sheyesh sham esh haroi levashel. Krovei bishula is defined if you already have a fire that's roi levashel. Then any participation you have, anything you do, is participation in the bishul process. But if it's not even there yet, it's not even at an age, you made a fire, but the fire can't cook. You didn't do anything in the bishul process. The bishul process is only once you have something that's suitable for cooking. It's not the exact same svara, but it's a similar svara. It's not the exact same svara, because what would the Ran say about a case where there's no food on the fire yet? The fire was made big enough to cook, and then the Jew throws wood into the fire. And then the food is put on. So the mashmaus of the Ran is that's okay. So you can't say the bishul process has started. Without food, there's no bishul, right? But the Ran says it's you made a bishul fire. You participated in a fire that has a shame bishul in it, a fire that's royal of Hashem, and that's enough of a participation in the process. There are two parts to the bishul. There's the fire and the food. So you created a fire that's Roy Levashel, but if you create a fire that's not Roy Levashel, you did nothing in the bishul process. Very similar svara, I think. Question? Yeah?
Yeah, so I just understand if it's on what the connection is between if it's started already and that...
Then even minimal participation is at least participation in bishul.
Why is because I'm in a bishul process, does that make my action...
Doesn't make it more significant. It defines the action as an action of bishul.
Because you're in the category of bishul, like, so to speak.
Lamashal, right. Lamashal, if I go to the store and with my hard-earned money I pay for the meat and I schlep it back home and I bring the bags in and I clean the meat and I bread the whatever I do. But then the guy comes and cooks the whole thing. So did I do something insignificant? I did something very significant. Right, it did extremely significant actions. But was it bishul? It was hechsher bishul, but it wasn't bishul. So if I make a fire that can't cook, did I do something significant? Maybe, because if that fire gives the guy the ability to enlarge the fire and make it suitable for cooking, that's wonderful. He's now able to cook with it. But he's the one doing the cooking. That's going shopping.
Since you're in the category of bishul, then anything you do from now on...
Right, so then it may be that I did something so insignificant and so minor, so tiny, but at least what I did was bishul. It's a tiny, tiny bit of bishul, and that's all you need is a tiny bit of bishul. I think that's what the Ran is saying. Again, you could probably read the Ran other ways also, but once you have that svara, that Chalkas B'Yarmin and Dovi and Tovi said, I think that it fits nicely with the Ran. I think it fits beautifully with the Ran. Okay, last thing on the hipuch process. if the food could not get cooked without the guy's help, you need the guy in order to make the cooking happen. Mutar or Asur? Right, trick questions. Klatz kasha. Because what did the Gemara say? That if a Jew puts the food on the fire and it's never going to get cooked, and then a guy comes along and makes it get cooked, davar pashut, that it's Asur. Right? That's beferish, that it's Asur. So if the Jew put it in a way that it couldn't get cooked without the guy's help, and the guy does the lion's share where he actually, not just the lion's share, but he actually puts it in a position where it now can get cooked, explicit in Gemara that it's Asir. Take a look back now at source number 6 in the Shulchan Aruch. Kol shebishle yisol ma'at bishulo, bein b'tchila bein b'sof mutter. Fine, we already saw that line. We saw the lefichach. Lefichach miniach ovichav m'basor, k'deir al gabe eish, v'afach yisol basor, v'higis b'gdeiro, sh'higis yisol v'gomra v'chav m'reiz a mutter. Jew participates beginning and it's all mutter. What does Rama add in? Even if it would not have gotten cooked had it not been for the guy's participation, still mutter. A Jew does something at the beginning, even if it wouldn't be cooked without the guy's participation, it's still mutter. That's a little troubling. It's beferish against the Gemara. Right? The Gemara, we're clear on this, right? The Gemara said beferish, the Jew puts it in a place where it won't get cooked, and then the guy makes it get cooked. That's aser. That's the Gemara said, it's so pasha that it's aser, that can't be what, right? That's aser. And the Ramah is explicit that it's mutter. Now, it should also be noted, keeping this Ramah in mind, you wonder why four se'ifim later, the Ramah was totally silent. Because four se'ifim later, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if the Jew puts it on the dying coals, and the guy makes the fire bigger to make it able to get cooked, that that's going to be aser. According to this Ramah, that's exactly the case of the Gemara, that the Gemara said is aser, but according to this Ramah, should be mutter. Why is the Ramah cholik over here and not in Sif Yud? It's the same halacha. It's the same case. The case of the Jew being involved b'tchila, and without the guy's help, it never would have gotten cooked. That's mamish the same case. So the truth is, not such a kasha on the Ramah in terms of why he says in a Sivav, not in a Sivyod, because he jumped on it the first chance he could, and then you'll realize as you read through the rest of the chapter that the Ramah disagrees with pretty much everything the Shulchan Aruch says about Bishul Akum. Right? The Ramah's, Shulchan Aruch says everything is Asur, Ramah says everything is Mutter. That's just the way. That's the way it breaks down with Bishul Akum. I honestly have no idea. I mean, if you're a frum Sephardi, like, you're really stuck in terms of restaurants that you can go to and, hashkachas and things like that, because so much of the there's so many Bishul Akum issues that we just rely on the Jew turning on the fire and things like that, where Sephardi can't rely on those things. I mentioned this, we once had my shir over when I was, when I was living in Cedars. I had 22 guys over for Shabbos, and my wife was turned on the fire, was breading the chicken, and the help in the house was actually frying it. Was putting the chicken in the frying pan and actually frying it. And we realized halfway through that six guys in the shir were Sephardim. So we have to have a Bishul Akum plate and a Bishul Yisrael plate for them. We have to let them. So that's what we did, Solomon Zadin, Zangirian, and all the Sephardim got from one plate, and all the other guys in Shabbat, whatever, and all the other guys got from the other plate. Yeah.
So I mean, I can say that in Zivav. That where you see that not only is the Shulchan Aruch talking about the shmishul by, you see that by the steak and on the grill, it's also talking about like in a pot where you put a lot of things together. So, but in Sif, you and the difference is that you don't think about the thing that's put on the grill. So maybe the Ramah is only talking about that when you have something, you put all the beans and everything in this pot that's cooking on top of the fire, and you in order to cook it, you need to, the top's not going to get cooked unless you stir it. So, is that he's saying that even only east, but I think maybe you could say that only to solve the issues that the Ramah's talking about in the case where he's talking about the kadeira by the pot, where you have everything in there, and that without the help of the guy mixing it up, that the head bit's not gonna get cooked, it's still okay.
Why would that be better though? If it's not gonna get cooked without,
I mean, it would help clear up the difference between what about it's going against.
I don't see why the chiluk makes a difference though. Meaning. Either way, the food's not going to be cooked without the guy. Yeah, I understand that you're drawing a chiluk between the pot and whatever. I understand those are different cases, but you have to... Making a chiluk involves two steps. It involves identifying a difference and then explaining why the difference makes a difference. You know what I'm saying? So, you did step one. I don't see step two there. Right?
Maybe,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe like there, at least since like half it's cooked without the guy, it's considered fully cooked. But by the meat, it's not going to be cooked at all because it's so far. So it's not going to be cooked at all. Like, it's not going to be able to eat at all without the... It's not going to be able to eat without the guy.
So you're saying something
like
in this pot is going to be able to be
eaten.
Okay, I don't know if that's true of the meat either, though. It could be that the bottom part will be... Maybe you're right, though. Call them almost, none of it will be cooked. Right, okay, it's possible. That's possible. Let's take a look at how the Nosekelim on the Shulchan Aruch deal with this issue. They obviously jump all over it, right? You can't ignore something like this. So the Shach and the Taz both. They have different approaches, but they both jump all over this. Take a look at the Shach, source number 12. L'chor kasha, do negra shasta avod zara, that the Rama, when he says, even if it wouldn't have gotten cooked without the guy's help, the Rama is against the Gemara. Where the Gemara says that if the Jew put it in a place where it wouldn't have gotten cooked, that's Bishalakim and it's Aser. Now, we do find this shita of the Rama that holds that it's mutter. So if it's sarachiyu, it's against the Gemara. So what do we do? So v'nira, the sphere le'lis v'heter v'harav, the isr v'heter and the Rama, both hold, d'nihi d'medina d'shas aser. They can't deny the Gemara. The Gemara says it's aser. But still, b'chiyagavna, mikol makom, hagam chitoy v'kiseim aser medina d'shas. You think this is the worst the Rama's going to go against Shulchan Aruch? He's going to against the Gemara, rather. He's going to totally go against the Gemara. He's going to tell us that if there's a fire there and the Jew just throws in a thorn into the fire, that's good enough. Where in the Gemara do you see that? So everything he says is against the Gemara. So can you do that? Can you answer Akash on the Rama by just saying that? Yeah, he didn't hold of Avodah Zarah. You know, like, you can't say that. So what's behind the Rama? So the truth is that additional kasha that he's saying, that the Rama's against the Gemara anyway, because he holds throwing a splinter in is good enough, that assumes not like the teretz of the Ran, right? The Ran said, no, throwing a splinter in is participation in the Bishul already. That's already the same as being Hofeich. That's the Bishul's going on already when you're throwing a little piece of wood into a raging fire. But starting a fire that doesn't go anywhere, that's a bigger deal. So he says, you know why we're making with all these things against the Gemara? Because if you look back to the previous siman in Hilchos Pasachim, we were making. And if whatever's true of Pasachim, whatever's good enough for Pasachim is good enough for Bishalachim. And by Pasachim, we said the same thing, that when you throw a kisein bepas, medina de Gemara shouldn't help. But we're Mekel anyway. Why are we Mekel? Because the Rishonim quote the Chilufei Min Hagim, the Bein B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'nei Bavel, that the Minig of B'nei Bavel was always to be Mekel with Hashlachas Kisei, even though it's against Talmud Bavel. That was the Minig, so we rely on that. We rely on such a Minig. And Hanach Lem Yisrael, Shushogin, Mutav Shushogin, Vali Mazidin, all that stuff. We discussed that when we did Pasachim. We rely on it even though we know it's against the Gemara. So the same kula you had to rely on in Pasachim, we apply that to Bishalachim. Any weakness in that argument?
We said Pasachim was like in Yachol, Lamed Bo.
Yeah, we're makel on everything with Pasachim. We treat the halachs of Pasachim much more leniently than we do the halachs of Bishalachim. So if that's our best defense for the Rama, it's a little bit lacking, right? It's a little bit difficult. He then deals with why the Rama doesn't say anything in Sif Yud. Probably just because he relies on this, but at the end, the Shach seems to say he's not really so comfortable with this Rama. He says, "Inyan din at the end, sarachiyun, kibin de b'shas yisa behed yedeich, din yech yisrael basra al gabi chalim, ubo b'chom v'havach bo, asurim lo yim espasha b'lo siyo v'chavim." Gemara says it's asur. The Rama's mekel, because they compare it to kisei m'chitoi, which in turn is compared to hilchos pasakum. But he said even the comparison to kisei m'chitoi is not so pashut like the Ran says. So the Shach sounds like at the end he's not so happy with this kula at all. The Taz has a different approach. The Taz says it's not against the Gemara. You just have to know how to read the Gemara. The Gemara started out by saying that if the Jew puts it in a place where it can't get cooked, and then the guy finishes it up, that it's pashut, that it's aser. But then you turn to Amud Beis, and in Amud Beis, the Gemara says, take a look at the Taz, see how he says it. Taz writes, V'nir l'anias daiti, second half of the paragraph, the heim sviruluhu, the kshomer achkach b'gemara, when the Gemara then says, de'ein aser atchiei tchilaso v'gamro b'yado v'kochavim, that it's only going to be aser if both the tchila and the Gemara is done by the guy. But if the tchila is done by a Jew and the Gemara is done by a guy, I don't care that the tchila that was done by the Jew couldn't really accomplish anything, or the Gemara that was done by the Jew couldn't really accomplish anything on its own, and that you need the guy. It doesn't matter. The Jew is involved, and as long as the Jew is involved, that's good enough. That's the Gemara being chazer from what it assumed was a davar pashut on Amud Aleph. Hadar be misvar azu. That's how he reads the Gemara. Then says the Taz, that's a creative reading of the Gemara. I wouldn't have read the Gemara that way. You show me your Ramah. I got to tell you how the Ramah read the Gemara. I wouldn't have read the Gemara that way. So the Taz says, Meikra Din, I wouldn't be so mech on this unless it's also Bebeis Yisrael with an employee of the Jew, unless you have the other kulas also to throw in there. The Ravitz kula, whatever. That's the only way you could be so mech on this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be so mech on it. So this major nafkamina l'dina. Now most of the time that it comes up in our homes, it's Bebeis Yisrael, it's an employee. So we have go back to those shirim. Do those heterim apply to our house help, or do they not apply? But even assuming that they do apply, this doesn't help for industrial kashrus. This helps for Bebeis Yisrael, whatever. It doesn't help for, you know, whatever company is making, you know, non-Jewish owned company is producing a lot of food and wants a hechsher.
Is this churning out the fire for on a small
let's say the Jew creates a tiny fire.
But if the Jew puts it on the fire, that's the tiny. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, the Jew creates a tiny fire that can't do anything, and then the guy raises it.
Right, both of you have a tiny fire, and then the Jew puts it on. That's the same thing.
When the Jew raises it, you're saying?
No, the Jew just puts it on a set fire that was not such a high fire.
And the Jew does what?
And the Jew puts it on.
He turns on to a very low flame that can't do anything. Is that what you're saying?
There's already a small flame, and now the Jew puts on the food.
Oh, he puts the food on to that small flame that can't do anything. Right. This is exactly
thing.
It. Yeah.
The same thing as Ramal was saying. In both cases, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it's talking about. We're going to have to put Marv now. There will be a Parsha, Tvar Torah, Shir, whatever, after Marv. All right.